Welcome again, everyone. We're very pleased to have speaking to us this morning, Brother Scott Cram. And his subject is the prayers of Jesus, his spoken words. So with that, we'll go ahead and turn that over to Brother Scott.
Well, good evening, brothers, sisters, friends of the truth, young people, children. It's great to be here, and I want to offer a special thanks to all who have assisted in putting this together. You know, particularly the Bonaire Ecclesia, and I would put after that the sisters and then the brothers. I know a lot of work goes into this, and it's all been done very nicely and with love and care. So thank you from Sister Sue and myself. As Brother Al mentioned, this evening will be the subject is prayer. But specifically, it's the prayers that Jesus offered. The prayers where Jesus' words are recorded for us in the scripture. In other words, his spoken words in prayer. Now, during Jesus' discourse on the Mount, he offered guidance when praying, and he says, as recorded for us in Matthew chapter 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye." And what follows is known as the Lord's Prayer. Now, later in Jesus' ministry, some of his disciples observed him praying and thought this an opportunity to be instructed by the Master in how to better pray. We read that in Luke chapter 11, the first verse, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, And again, Jesus repeated similar instructions in the form and format of a fit prayer. So I ask the question, of the prayers recorded in the scriptures offered by Jesus himself, what further instructions on prayer might we glean from reviewing those very words he offered in prayer? Now, of the many times Jesus prayed, we have only 6 occasions where his precise words are recorded. Now, this evening, we will consider what can be learned from these 6 occasions that resulted in the recording of 10 individual prayers. Most are only a few words, such as, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Now the longest is the whole of John chapter 17. Given that we are to strive to have the mind of Christ in both doctrine and practice, Let's see what we can learn from Christ's prayers. One of the first lessons is to note that for our learning from Christ's prayers is that they were heard because he believed in his Father's sustaining strength. We learn that from the 5th chapter of Hebrews in the 7th verse, where it reads, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared." In that he feared. Now the margin for this says, for his piety, or his reverence of God. This verse in Hebrews concerns when Jesus was in Gethsemane, the hour of his crucifixion, and one of our prayers that we'll study this evening. It was through prayer that he gained strength and assurance of his resurrection from the power of death and that of the grave. The Syriac version of this Hebrews reference was able to save him from death, as to quicken him from death, which we would understand to mean to restore him from death to life. Now, as believers, we must always pray with the sureness of Yahweh's ability to perform that which is right for each of us. A second lesson that we learn is Jesus instructs us to pray to the Father in secret and to not use vain repetitions, just as we read earlier in Matthew 6. The context of this instruction is to avoid showiness, to express one's prayer in sincerity, and not for the purpose of display. Some prayers are of public nature, and properly so. But in all cases, humility is demanded. So with these lessons in mind, let's look now at Christ's individual prayers. The recorded words Jesus spoke in prayer are in the Gospels. Now, the wording sometimes being slightly different between Gospels, but it always carries the same meaning. The 6 instances are when first Jesus expresses thankfulness for the truth revealed unto babes. And that's in Matthew 11 and Luke 10. The second that's recorded is he prayed before raising Lazarus in John 11. The third, he gave glory to Yahweh's name in John 12. And the fourth we have in John 17. There were multiple petitions in his prayer. And then we have as the 5th instance, the 3 prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we find those in Matthew 26 and Mark 14. And then followed by the 3 prayers on the stake, again in Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23. Now that's a total of 10 prayers at 6 different events. Now other references to Jesus praying but not recording his words include at his baptism, in Luke 3:21, at certain times when he withdrew from crowds, such as in Luke 5:16, after healing people, such as in Mark 1:35, and before walking on water, which we recorded in 3 of the Gospels, before choosing the 12, before Peter's confession, before the transfiguration, or at the Transfiguration, before teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says that he prayed for Peter's faith. He also gave thanks before feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000. He gave thanks at the Last Supper. He gave thanks at the supper with the two on the road to Emmaus. And certainly many more which are not recorded in the scripture. So our instruction that we read to pray without ceasing was certainly the character of Jesus. Now we find his prayers to be of two types, and they are distinguished by their focus. One is a prayer where Jesus himself is the subject, and our prayer, this prayer, is self-directed when praying for forgiveness, for guidance, or help. Our prayer is of this type. Included in this would be prayers of worship, thanksgiving, and faith. They are prayers concerning ourself. Now the other is where Jesus is interceding on another's or a group's behalf. So when we pray for others, for Yahweh to heal or to strengthen them, our prayers are of this type, intercessory. We are entreating Yahweh for their behalf. Presently, Christ intercedes on our behalf before the Father. For the scriptures read in Romans 8 and 34, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Again in Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Of course, today, with Jesus at the right hand of the Father, he is the intercessor, the mediator of our prayers. So in some sense, we could say intercessory prayers are tiered. When we pray for another's benefit, we then become the first intercessor. And then, Christ being the mediator between men and Yahweh, he becomes the final intercessor. So our third lesson is that our prayers should attend to both personal matters and be intercessory for the behalf of others. As in James 5:16, we are to pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In a recent exhortation, our brother had this comment about prayers, which I thought was a good one. Prayer is the raising of the heart to Yahweh. The raising of the heart to Yahweh. Now we do this both on behalf of ourselves and equally so for others. So we'll now turn chronologically to the 10 recorded prayers and briefly look at each. We'll try to draw some common instructions on prayer that can be gleaned by reviewing the very words Christ offered. The first one, in Matthew 11, Jesus had just explained the greatness of John the Baptist and was now reprimanding the cities that had not repented, considering the mighty works done in their presence. He then offered a prayer of thanks for the humble, receptive learners of the truth. And that's Matthew 11, verse 25. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. Now the identical wording is recorded in a single verse in Luke 10:21. So from this, my takeaways are: one, Jesus is expressing his grateful and being grateful and being able to approach the Father, the creator of all things. And secondly, he's acknowledging Yahweh's supremacy. Third, he's recognizing Yahweh's wisdom and how he selectively reveals this wisdom to those who are receptive to hear. Now, as we proceed through these prayers, we'll later consolidate these takeaways to see what general prayer guidance they reveal. So the next prayer we're going to look at is the one he offered before raising Lazarus. And that's in John 11, verses 41 and 42. And they took the stone away, and from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So here we have Jesus expressing his gratefulness to Yahweh for never being absent, expressing confidence in Yahweh, and desirous that others believe his sonship, and therefore his gospel message through the act of raising Lazarus from the dead. Now the next one, about 5 days before his crucifixion, when Philip approached Jesus about certain Greeks that desired to see Jesus, shortly after that, Jesus said in John 12:27-28, Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So the takeaways from these short words is that Christ expresses a belief in Yahweh's power and purpose, deferring his anxieties to the will of the Father, acknowledging that the grand purpose of deity is to glorify his, Yahweh's, name. So now moving on to the next prayer that was offered. So sometimes during those final hours when Jesus and his disciples supped and broke bread, Jesus uttered this prayer recorded in John chapter 17. Now, whether privately or in the hearing of his disciples, the record does not say. The prayer, spanning 26 verses, can be divided into three components: a prayer regarding Jesus himself, then the apostles, and finally the ecclesial body. So if you would, turn to John 17, and we will consider the first component, that of Jesus himself. Glorify thou me is really kind of the theme of these first five verses, John 17, 1 through 5. And these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now the takeaways from these first five verses would be that Yahweh is glorified by Christ's work on this earth, and that Yahweh will soon be further glorified by the resurrection of Jesus, and that there is a hope for eternal life through Jesus, that Yahweh's will be done, and that Christ had fulfilled his commission. The next component of this 17th chapter is an intercessory prayer for the apostles to keep them in the name of Yahweh. And that's verses 6 through 19. Beginning at John 17, verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. And they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all thine, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and to these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. So through this block of verses, the takeaways as I see them are that Jesus appeals for Yahweh's care for the apostles who are to represent him in the world, to sanctify them through thy truth, he says. He prayed that the Father would keep the apostles in the unity of faith as the Father and the Son were. And he prayed for their future salvation, to keep them from evil, the evil of the world. So the next block in this chapter are the final verses from 20 to the end, 26. And this is intercessory on behalf of the whole ecclesia, that they may be made perfect in one, beginning at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So we have this final appeal for the ecclesia, that those apostles will continue to lead, guide, and be to them the pillar of the truth. So our takeaways from this section is the union in love of the whole ecclesia, welded together as one with the Father and the Son, that the world believes Jesus is sent from Yahweh in glory. And he prayed for those who believe on Jesus through the teachings of the apostles. The ecclesia will be one, knowing the Father. The ecclesia may be made perfect in one. And he prayed for this shared love. So the fifth event in 1 John 18:1, it tells us that he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And there he offered three prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane. The first being, we'll read from Matthew 26:39, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Abba, Father. This is in reading the same thing in Mark 14:36. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So our takeaways are pretty straightforward. Acknowledging Yahweh's omnipotence, seeking reassurance, a petition for mercy, yet a deferral to Yahweh's will and purpose. And the next of the three in the garden, and looking at Matthew 26:42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. The takeaways are similar. He acknowledges the Father-Son relationship, accepting Yahweh's will and purpose. He also understands one's purpose in life, his purpose in this life. and he understood divine priorities. So the third time, in Matthew 26:44, we read, "And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." Mark records it in 14:41. "And he cometh the third time and said unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest, it is enough. The hour is come, behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." So the takeaways from this third prayer really are the same as the previous. And the sixth incident then of his spoken prayers follow his sentence of crucifixion. And these three prayers are recorded as Jesus hung on the stake and was nigh unto death. And this is what he first said in Luke 23:34. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So our takeaways from this short prayer is Jesus again acknowledges the relationship to his Father. And he seeks for Yahweh's mercy upon those of no understanding. Then, as recorded in Matthew 27:46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So our takeaways from this is that Jesus is recognizing in the opening that these are the opening words of Psalm 22, an introductory to the entire psalm, a psalm that ends with the world turning to Yahweh and declaring his glory and his righteousness. So our takeaway from this is Christ declaring his Father's glory to come. And finally, his last words in Luke 23:46. "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the spirit." So our final takeaways would again be acknowledging the relationship with the Father and trusting in Yahweh's will and purpose. So in revisiting our takeaways on Jesus' 10 prayers, there are many lessons to be drawn from our Master's words. So the fourth lesson: Jesus always opened his prayers by addressing them to his Father. Then most often he expresses his confidence in the Father's love and care for the true Israelite, the Israelite indeed, both collectively and individually. These expressions encompass gratefulness in being able to approach the Father, and desirous that all come to the knowledge of the truth. And for the ecclesia of God, Jesus asked that there be a union in love of the whole ecclesia, that the ecclesia will be perfect in one, knowing the Father. And specifically for the apostles who have an immediate need, that Yahweh would care for these apostles who are to represent the Father and the Son in the world, to sanctify them in the unity of faith through thy truth. He prayed for their future salvation and to keep evil from them. And then uniquely for himself, seeking strength, accepting one's purpose in life and present circumstances in relation to divine priorities. Now, the fifth lesson that we take note of Jesus is an acknowledgement that Yahweh is glorified by Christ's work. And the derivative, of course, of this is that our work is to glorify Christ. And it's a recognition of Yahweh's wisdom and purpose, a petition for Yahweh's mercy for others. And then we have a sixth lesson. And finally, it is clear the assertion of Yahweh's supremacy, his power, and his omnipotence. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. For me, this is the overarching message of these 10 prayers of Jesus and his instructive prayers. Thy will be done. That to me is the overarching message of all of these words recorded. Thy will be done. And second to this is Jesus' concern, care, and love of the household, the apostles he sent into the world to preach the things concerning the kingdom of God and the things concerning the name of Jesus Christ, and all those who believed and obeyed the teachings of the apostles. This second all-embracing message in the recorded prayers of the words of Jesus is captured particularly well in John 17, 20 and 21. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. All those generations of faithful servants through to our day, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Now we also want to consider the alignment with the Lord's Prayer that he taught us how to pray. We learn from this study that Jesus' words align with his instructions on how to pray. We see four elements in the Lord's Prayer. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And it begins with an acknowledgement and respect and reverence to our Creator, our Father who art in heaven. Then the first three petitions were expressions of our love of God and the desire that his honor should be widespread. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And this is followed by three more petitions which are expressive of our confidence in God's love of us. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this manner of prayer concludes by three statements expressive of Yahweh's ability to grant our requests. For thine is the kingdom, for thine is the power, for thine is the glory forever. Now we observe another thing with these 10 prayers of Jesus. I was struck by the emphasis the Spirit word places on Jesus' final days. 7 of these 10 prayers were within the last 24 hours of his ministry. And even as unique as that, those 7 represent almost 90% of the total recorded words that we find in Jesus' prayer. This should tell us something about the importance of Christ's submission to his Father's will, and especially in our day, the importance that we do likewise. In his final hours, his prayer was that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. The affinity for us and reassurance of the Father's care for those in time of stress. Now, from his youth, he and the Father were as one in prayer. From early childhood to his death, a span of possibly 25 to 30 years, he prayed without ceasing. Now, that amounts to about 10,000 days. And the Spirit selected his last day of those 10,000 to record for our learning Jesus' innermost prayerful thoughts about his sheep, his servants, his household. No doubt these thoughts were oft repeated in each of his daily prayers, but we should take note of this message to us. As seen in our study, the subject matter of those prayers is an expression of an expansive caring for the household and the subject and all subject to Yahweh's will. This must be our perspective in these final days of our sojourn. In these days of tribulation, our prayers must extend beyond self-directed prayers to the intercessory type concerning our brethren and the household, and yes, even the aliens round about. Christ's prayer in John 17 echoes the will of the Father that all the earth should be filled with the glory of Yahweh. For he writes, "Neither pray I for these alone," speaking of the apostles, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And later, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these," again referring to those who have believed on Christ through the words of the apostles, and of course that would include the apostles themselves, "and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, and that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." So with these thoughts, we adjourn our talk this evening with Christ's admonition, recorded in Revelation chapter 22, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. He which testify these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus."